Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
The concept is to drive these remotely controlled bodies called avatars. They're grown from human DNA mixed with DNA of the natives.
Marine in an avatar body. That's a potent mix.
You get me what I need, I'll see to it you get your legs, babe. Your real legs.
Hell yeah, sir.
Looks like you. This is your avatar.
Just relax and let your mind go blank. It shouldn't be hard for you.
Little bit of Avatar, the trailer, the movie itself is, I think now hands down, biggest blockbuster in history, making a lot of money for Jim Cameron, for the whole team there that made this movie. People are saying it is changing the face of special effects, that the story is amazing. Some are saying it's derivative of so many other movies, but it's still an amazing thing to watch. My daughter went to see Avatar last night, and she's very difficult to impress, not a fan of science fiction, and she came away impressed. She says she's going to see it again, and that's saying something. We'll do a little review of the movie Avatar. Ken Samples will join us here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll start out talking about Avatar, and then a little bit later, we'll get an update on earthquake relief efforts in Haiti from Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief and Human Care. And then we'll conclude today's program playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. We play them for you, and then you vote. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. You can also email us here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Ken Samples is a regular guest. He's senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Anaheim, California, co-author of the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials, and author of the book A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Worldview-wise, what's behind this blockbuster?
Yeah, very appropriate question. And certainly when we talk about worldview, we're asking the question, how does a movie like this frame such ultimate issues such as your view of God, your view of the cosmos, truth, goodness, values, and humanity? And I think it's very clear. I like the movie. It is an engaging story. First movie, Todd, I'd ever seen in 3D. Really kind of amazing technology. But the worldview, I think, reflects a combination of Eastern mysticism. Certainly, even the term avatar itself is an enfleshment of the divine that we would relate to, for example, Krishna in Hinduism. Forces in the cosmos, everything is made up of forces, very much an Eastern mystical idea. Ideas of reality on the outside, dream world on the inside. This is very common kind of New Age spirituality. So I think there's a combination of kind of Eastern pantheistic monism mixed with kind of a popular paganism, a worship of nature, if you will.
I'm intrigued by the second part of your description there. Give us some examples, without spoiling the story, of course, give us some examples of what you think might be that paganism lurking in the worldview of the movie Avatar.
Well, the concept, the reality of this tree plays a significant role in the movie, and there are various times in which this native group of people are centered around kind of this tree and the ultimate natural element that stands beyond it. And so even the Vatican has released a document that said they replace Christianity with ecology and a worship of nature. And so definitely plays a theme. But there are a lot of ideas circulating in this movie.
Okay, let's talk about, and this is maybe a little bit difficult because in this movie, being science fiction, it deals with two different races, the human race and this alien race. I imagine both really are commentaries on the human predicament. How is the human predicament ultimately depicted in Avatar?
You know, when I was watching the movie, Todd, there were themes from a variety of movies I've seen before. I mean, to some extent, there's a little bit of Star Wars in it. There's a little bit of Dances with Wolves, this idea of a native tribe that's being oppressed and dominated by this technologically advanced civilization. But it's the native people that have the deeper moral and spiritual insights. Certainly, the idea of imperialism, I mean, some people are rather troubled that the group that's dominating are supposed to be the Marine Corps. But I was thinking it seemed more like the Soviet Union's oppression of Afghanistan years ago. But the idea here is, I think, that humans can reflect evil and oppression and domination, but it is the more native group that has the deeper intuitive awareness of spirituality.
Is man being, the human race, being depicted in this film as, if not inherently evil, so ruined by technology and greed and all of those kind of things, virtually unredeemable?
Well, I think really the way they depict the human dilemma is much more Eastern in orientation. You certainly can adopt the more physical, human greed and domination, and that's the invading aliens, or you can adopt a much more pantheistic, monistic, pagan view of nature and kind of become one with reality. And so if I were to identify the basic dilemma of humanity, it's pitched in an Eastern mystical orientation.
So would that mean man lacks knowledge or enlightenment?
Absolutely. The dominant force, they're unenlightened. They're lacking in intuition. They need to undergo a transformation of consciousness. And, of course, one of the central figures in this, as an avatar, goes through that change of consciousness.
That's what I'm kind of wondering about, the character arc that this Marine, just basically the little I know from the plot line, this Marine is allowed through technological means to enter this alien race and pass as one of them, indistinguishable, and in some way experience life as one of them, and thereby achieves this enlightenment. Is that basically the story?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you think about Krishna consciousness, if you think about transcendental meditation, if you think about kind of Hinduism in a traditional way, you need to move from lacking awareness, and you need to change your consciousness so that you know you're one with God. So there's definitely a strong Eastern mystical orientation that runs all the way through the movie.
Is there, obviously not explicitly, I wouldn't expect it, but can you detect the fingerprints of a God in the Avatar universe?
Yeah, I think that you can, but it seems, and again, part of the problem with kind of analyzing a movie philosophically and theologically is that James Cameron kind of throws all kinds of things. And so part of the time, it's clearly sci-fi, it's clearly fantasy, but other times you're hit like a bolt with philosophical ideas. And so you definitely have all of these ideas kind of filtering through.
Some reviewers have said that the movie comes off as somewhat preachy, especially with regard to what is kind of the modern sensibility of environmentalism. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think it is at times pretty strong. I mean, I think there are clearly times when you get the impression that ecology and, relating to nature is kind of connected to religion. And you know, as G.K. Chesterton, C.S. Lewis, and many other people have suggested, when you stop believing in the God of the Bible, you need some kind of God replacement. And so, yeah, that element's there. It's interesting, as I was watching the film, I was kind of listing in my mind the different major themes. And certainly the green ecology, I almost thought there was a part of the Inconvenient Truth movie in there from Al Gore. So all of it is there, and it's in my opinion, a very engaging film.
We're talking with Ken Samples about the movie Avatar. He's senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Anaheim, California, co-author of the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials, also author of A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the World View Test. That's a bit of what we're doing here on Issues Etc. in this half hour. You can join us. If you've seen Avatar, tell us what your thoughts are on this movie. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @IssuesETC. When we come back, I'm curious about the role of technology. Technology is not neutral. It certainly isn't. And in this film, there is the technologically advanced against the primitive. The great war machines against bows and arrows and spears. The industrial against the natural. What kind of a worldview is at work here? And is there an irony that this movie that seems to say our technology makes us more monsters than we were to begin with, this movie could not have been brought to us without very sophisticated technology. Stay tuned. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super bee, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time, there's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
Imagine there's a room full of people who are infected with a terminal disease, infants all the way through the elderly. Doctor comes in with some nurses, he hands them the vaccine and says, I want you to inoculate everybody, and he leaves. Now, could you imagine the nurses later saying, I can't really expect that he meant us to inoculate the infants. I mean, they don't even understand how a vaccine works.
Once you take away the connection between sex, procreation, and marriage, there isn't any reason for any prohibition on who can marry who.
Do you think they're going to go back to liturgy? Of course not. And why not? Because they like it. It has nothing to do with growth. We like this. That's what it's really all about.
The question is not, have you accepted Jesus into your heart, but has Jesus accepted you into his heart? The question is not, have you given your whole life for God, but has God given his whole life for you?
Just a taste of Soundbite of the Week that coming up here in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. Four sound bites of Issues Etc. audio. You call and email and Twitter and vote. And we'll pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, 1-877-623-MYIE. Twitter us at IssuesETC or email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Ken Samples is our guest. We're talking about the movie Avatar. Just give us a thumbnail sketch of its plot, if you would, without giving anything away.
Yeah, that's good. I would say that it depicts the idea of a alien group of people who come to a native people and seek to dominate them and create the idea that these natives are really a threat. But ultimately what is revealed in this attempt to conquer is that the native people have all of the great moral and spiritual insights.
Ted is listening in Canada. Ted, thank you for being patient. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks, Todd. One thing that I noticed in the movie, and this is something that I noticed years ago when I was watching the movie The Matrix, actually, and it applies to this movie too, is that the writer has put Jesus into this particular movie, but not in the way that we would probably like to have him there. Basically, as you're watching the movie, there's a lot of breaking of the second commandment, which means that they know who Jesus is. Clearly, this is a world, this fictional world they've created, is one where Jesus is known of. And I'll just hang up and let you guys talk about that.
That's very interesting. I hadn't even thought about that, Ken.
Yeah, I think what is intriguing and also frustrating is you have so many themes kind of coming at you that ultimately they're convoluted. They're folded in a conflicting type of way. But there is the idea of kind of a messianic figure that comes in. And so virtually every major kind of religious theme in some way or another is depicted in the movie Avatar.
Jonathan emails, he says, just one point. The force that lay at the center of all the pantheism, they referred to several times as, quote-unquote, the goddess. At one point, the person that had undergone the Enlightenment prayed at this great tree, and later, when it appeared to have been effectual, his partner from that race said, quote, she heard you. Very imaginative land, though, if I was a pantheist. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think in the film, again, to underscore my earlier point, I think you have so many different ideas that at times they conflict. I mean, sometimes I think it's kind of a neo-pagan perspective. Other times I think it's kind of Eastern mystical. Cameron has even said that he had various people kind of giving him input. And interestingly enough, he's appearing today on Oprah talking about the film.
Is there something in this film that pits the industrial against the natural, the machine against the mere man, the technological, that is, in terms at least of hardware, against the low-tech society?
Oh, yeah, that's a very important element. And so you have kind of philosophical worldview, religious ideas, but you also have at times very clear, I think, allusions to political, ecological, technological points of view. I couldn't help but think in watching the film, the claims that are made that, you know, when I was a boy, Christopher Columbus was just this incredible explorer. You know, he was kind of the Captain Kirk before there was a Captain Kirk. Today, he's kind of seen as coming and corrupting these poor, innocent native people in America. even the idea of the Indians being corrupted and then destroyed by the white Americans. Of course, all of that loses sight of the fact that every human being on the planet is corrupt, that the Indian and Native peoples were at war with one another. But all of that is kind of twisted in this kind of sense that these people who have technology misuse it, and they oppress the people who lack these technological advances.
Two quick final questions. Someone says, look, I just like the movie because it's got amazing special effects and an intriguing story. You guys need to lighten up about Avatar.
Yeah, you know what? I would say, look, there are plenty of people that go to movies who don't read worldview books and don't think deeply about theology and philosophy. They kind of want to escape. They want to enjoy it. The truth of the matter, Todd, is I enjoyed a lot of things about the film, and certainly Cameron has a right to make an entertaining film, an engaging film. But for people like you and I who both like to enjoy technology and enjoy movies, you can't help but kind of want to think about some of these issues and compare and contrast them with the Christian worldview.
What ultimately is the danger, not of the film, I mean, it's a film, but of the worldview that may be being promoted by a film like Avatar?
Well, I think a couple things about that, Todd. I think, number one, that Christians need to be taught, I think, early on, not by the time they go to college. That might be way too late. We need to teach young people to look at literature, to look at movies, to look at books, and to be asking and thinking very Socratic type of questions. I think if there is a concern, I think the concern is that movies make certain ways of thinking legitimate and acceptable, and if you come off too strong in critiquing this movie, it's like you're seen as kind of reactionary. But this movie certainly does have an agenda. Some people think it is very heavy-handed, but I would encourage people, if they're going to see it, to think about it, to go to a coffee house, talk about it, engage with the movie, with the Christian faith.
Ken Samples, a senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Anaheim, California. He's co-author of the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. He's author of the book A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. Ken, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.